Okay. If you close your eyes for a moment to pray, please do not go to sleep. You all look like you might. All right. Our Father, we thank Thee for the joy that we know in knowing our Lord Jesus as Savior. We thank Thee for the prospect of singing eternally. We thank Thee, our Father, for being able to sing of a day when He will be crowned Lord of all. We thank Thee for the One who is worthy of every diadem and every honor that He shall ever bear. We thank Thee for our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Amazing to us that in wondrous love He died for us at Calvary, and we give thanks. Pray that Thou wilt bless Thy word throughout the conference, and now as we open the Word of God together, we ask for help, Lord, and we pray that there might be something accomplished in these few minutes that will be for the eternal blessing of those that are here and for Thy glory eternally as well. We ask Thy blessing then and pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to read one verse in the book of Psalms. Psalm 26. Now, it was advertised that this would be short. And you hear this, you've heard this before, but it is actually true right now. This will be brief if you make it brief. This will be long if you make it long. I'll explain that in a minute. Verse 8 of Psalm 26. You ready? Did you find it in your Bible? You don't have a Bible? It's not in the hymn book. All right, here it is. Memorize it then. Lord, I have loved the habitation of Thy house and the place where Thine honor dwelleth. Now, I keep saying this every year, and one of these times I'm gonna run out of gas, and they're gonna say, David, you're retired. But as long as I have the privilege of speaking to younger people and old folks, I'm asking myself, like, what is the most important thing I would like to get over to them? Okay? And I would love for you to live for the Lord Jesus, and I'd love for you to be fired up and stirred up. And that's often the way a time like this is spent, and I'd like to warn you to miss the pitfalls on the pathway of life. But here's one thing that I wouldn't want to neglect getting across to you, because if I could get this into the heart of every young person that is here, I would be thrilled. The psalmist says, I have loved the habitation of Thy house. There's a place where the Lord dwells, and I love that. And the place where Thine honor dwelleth. There's a place where the Lord's honor is attached to that. And do you understand? Oh, yes, you do. That there is designated in the New Testament a place where the Lord dwells. And there is, therefore, a place in the New Testament where His honor dwells. Now, is that too foreign language to just communicate the truth to us? That the Lord is honored in this place in a unique way. If it operates the way He wants it to operate, it will honor Him in a way that nothing else will honor. Is that not what this says? I have loved the habitation of Thy house and the place where Thine honor dwelleth. Okay? So far we're together on this? All right, from here we're going to go on a different road than usual. I'm going to just try to identify maybe 5, 6, 7 things that are distinctive about the church of God in the New Testament, the house of God, which is the church of the living God, pillar and ground of the truth. I'm quoting from 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. I just want to look over maybe 5, 6, 7 things, and I am going to ask you to tell me how they honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? So that's how you can make it short. You can give me answers. If I don't think your answer is well considered, then I'll say, that's a terrible answer. I'd never accept an answer like that. Or something like that. But if you just sit there and look at me like, I'm afraid to say anything, I just hope somebody else makes a mistake, then it'll be long. It will really be long, okay? So this is up to you. All right. That's why I have this here, because I'm tired. So I guess I need this, I don't know. All right, let me just ask you. I'm thinking about the foundation of the assembly. Like, what? How does a church start? How does a church of God begin? How does the foundation, the formation of an assembly, glorify or honor Christ? No idea. In fact, it's all right here now, isn't it? It's all right if it's the women even speak, because I think we're just in a little get-together here. Okay. All right. You don't even have to put your hand up, but I appreciate a good Irish Zambian hand up in the air. Go ahead. Go ahead. All right. Okay. And in that sense, that is a way that the Lord Jesus is honored. But let me push that question a little further now, okay? Is a church just wherever any two people get together? Like we could get together for a little sing tomorrow night and maybe four or five of us would show up. Would that then become a church because there's four or five Christians there? Okay. Now, we want to kind of delve into this. Sounds like a good answer, and it is an excellent answer. It tells us at least this much, that it's God that originates an assembly. It's not something that we originate. It's something that God Himself establishes. And I'm thinking of a New Testament scripture which goes right along with what you said, because you quoted from the Old Testament about the Lord placing His name. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So in its foundation, okay, I'm helping you out more than I want to right now, but okay? In its foundation is Jesus Christ. Its foundation is His name. The foundation is not, there's a nice preacher here. Or we have a fancy building and we have a lot of activities. That's not what forms the foundation. So am I coming across? The foundation honors the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about Him. Okay, what about the designation of this place? What should we call it? Oh. No name, right? Is that what you're saying? Oh, that's not good. Well, I'll tell you what, this, if it has no name, if it has no name, then it doesn't honor the Lord Jesus. It honors no one. Oh, we have one of our younger ones here.
Give up the denominational ties. That's what happens. We have a collection of people that have given up their previous denomination.
And so what name is it that they are identified with? Josh. And you got it. The Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I'm after, right? The only name to identify the people of God is they're drawn to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Draw them to the name of David Oliver. And that's, for a minute or two, that would make the David Oliver look good. But draw them to the name of the Lord Jesus. No other name. Not just that there's no name. There's no other name. But the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That God intends to be the drawing power, the identity of a church of God. All right? Are we okay now? Are we working along a little better? All right, let me get my notes. Because I can't memorize. Oh. All right. If I use the word commemoration, would you have any idea what I'm talking about? No idea. Okay, Colleen. Then you tell me. What do I mean by the commemoration? Wait. Okay. Now you know this. But it's okay. I just wanted to see a blush. We remember someone. One of the chief activities of a church of God is to remember someone, to commemorate this person. What am I talking about? Hey, you can tell me.
Let me see. What's the name there? Aside from McAllister. No, it's not Paul. That's Paul. Okay, no. You had an answer.
James, go ahead. What you told your grandma, tell me. In this country, we spell it C-O-M-M-E-M-O-R-A-T-I-O-N.
All right, good enough. All right, David, you're with me now.
The breaking of bread.
So this is actually a very important part of a church of God, right? And is there any designation like as to when this should be take place in the Bible? Is there any indication? You know too much. First day of the week is what the word of the New Testament gives us in Acts 20. Okay, now tell me something. How is the honor of the Lord Jesus associated with the first day of the week and with this remembrance? All right, hang on. It is a date that honors his resurrection, a living Christ. All right, good start, but what about the rest of the story? In what way does the breaking of bread honor the Lord Jesus? Now, come on, that's the easiest question I have asked all night. No, just a minute. Give some of these ignorant people that come from the United States a chance. Okay? All right. Whose hand is that? Okay, go ahead. Okay, I know you said the right thing, but I didn't hear you. Okay, and actually, who's all this gathering about? It's about the Lord Jesus. It honors him. It declares his death. It's a remembrance of him. To downplay a gathering like that is to downplay the honor of the Lord Jesus. To put it off to an infrequent thing, that doesn't honor the Lord Jesus as it is intended to honor him, but rather that he should be the center of that gathering. Does somebody lead the gathering and say, "Now this is what I think you should do"? Why don't you say something now? Do you have a hymn right now to give up? No, not you. Who leads the gathering? And the purpose of that is just to get men out of the way so that the Lord Jesus is the one that is honored. Is that fair enough? Are we together on this? I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Right? Let me see. All right, here's one. I'm going to use the word differentiation. But what do I mean by that? You mean you can't read my mind? Differentiation. Are there any differences made among the persons who are in a church of God? Right? Like the people that are rich and the people that are poor. We want to make a difference there, right? All right, there's different ways they function in the assembly. What were you going to say? Paul. Okay, they are all equally priests. That's true. They have different gifts, and so they have different responsibilities in the assembly. But there is one major difference that's obvious in every assembly. A major difference.
Men and women.
The difference between male and female. And so what is one thing that would characterize women as they gather together in this church, this assembly? Now, tell me, why would women have their heads covered? I mean, they have a prettier head than most of you men. Some of us, not. No, sorry, take that back. I have two fellows that are really helping me, but what about the rest of you? You're all that bumps on a log, or do you have some suggestions? Timmy, you got any answers back there? Wrong Timmy. Sorry, I mean, I call you Tim. All right, any suggestions here? All right, we still got... Come on, guys. This is long. Pulling teeth? No ideas. Because he told us to. So does that honor him just to do what he tells us? That's exactly right. But I'll tell you what, there's even more than that that will honor him. Do you understand the idea... Go ahead. It's a shame to the woman, exactly what it says. But now let me tell you why that is a shame to the woman. Because what God wants to show in the assembly is that Christ is the head. And therefore the man represents Christ, and his head is Christ, and therefore his head's uncovered, so that Christ is being honored. And for the woman, her head is the man, her head's covered. Because man's not being honored here, but the head of the man, Christ, is being honored. So simply as I can tell you, when a woman, when you ladies have your hair long and you ladies have your head covered, you are honoring the Lord Jesus by
the display, that headship here that's being displayed doesn't belong to the man. And you men, when we come with our heads uncovered, we're honoring Christ. We are saying simply, Christ is head. He's the administrative one in whose hands God has placed all administration. He is the head. Tremendous truth. God doesn't do anything apart from a head being involved with it. And the head is Christ, and that's being displayed by the differentiation between the male and the female. And the man, why do men speak and the women, keep quiet, you talk too much? Why do we do that? That's terrible. Who said that? Why do we do that? Because it's in the Bible. And that's true. And that honors him just to carry it out because it's in the Bible. But why? Why? David, you know all the answers? He's getting desperate. You don't have this one? Oh, but you have this one. Right? Go. Right, the man has been given leadership or headship, and therefore he expresses leadership because the Lord Jesus himself has been given that leadership. And the woman is not given to be the leader. But the man represents Christ in terms of marriage and so on. The man, like Christ, the one who has a bride. And therefore, it's to honor Christ that the man has leadership, and that is expressed in leading in worship, leading in ministry, leading in prayer. It is all about the honor of the Lord Jesus. Are there capable women who could actually teach things? Yes. Are there capable women that could pray? Absolutely. Are there women that could worship? Absolutely, and they do. And they are to worship. They're priests just as much as men are. But leadership is entrusted to the male for the honor of Christ. Are we together or not? Got the idea? You're not shaking. You're supposed to say yes. Oh, absolutely. I understand it completely. All right. The donuts are here. Okay. Why does God intend there to be a plurality of overseers in an assembly? Why? Why? What's the problem with one person being in charge? I'd like to be that person. Right? No, you're exactly right. Well, why? Why more than one and not one? Okay, it's checks and balances. But come with me a little further. I'm going to push it a little more. You're right. There's nothing wrong with what you're saying. But you're right on the right track. Keep going. What'd you say? All right. Now listen, let me explain it in a different way, but you've got the point exactly. What is one of the words that the word in the New Testament uses for these elders, these overseers, bishops? And who is the shepherd? There's only one shepherd. There are many shepherds, but there's only one shepherd. And so the Word of God says, let's design it so it's clear. There's one shepherd, but there are many shepherds. And so in every assembly, there's only one shepherd, capital S, but there are many shepherds who shepherd for him. Do you see anything about that that brings honor to Christ? And if you just have one man, well, now, I mean, we've got a lot of men that are designated to be pastors around, I mean, shepherds around here, but there's one head man, and he's the really one that's in charge. Is there anything about that that might take away from the honor of the Lord Jesus? You with me? This plurality, that's the word that's used, of elders, honors the Lord Jesus. Now, okay, have I gone far enough? Because I had a couple of others I was going to do, but can you give me now, just without responding, can you give me any reasons why I should love the habitation of his house and the place where his honor dwelleth? I want to tell you something. By the grace of God, I love the assembly. And I'm communicating to you tonight one grand reason why I love the assembly. Have you got what it is?
Because Christ is there.
Christ is there. And go ahead. What do you got back there, John? And in a way that God has designed it, it honors, let me just change your statement this much, it honors the Lord Jesus Christ. God designed it to honor Him. Do you think you could design some way to honor Christ better than God could design it? I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. If we took the time tonight, and if you help me, we could actually go through many more things that are New Testament features of the assembly. But the main thing about every one of them is they will all come back to this. They honor Christ. That's God's intention. And I know you love Him. And I want you to learn from the Word of God to love the place where He dwells, the habitation of His house, and the place where His honor dwells. Don't forget your part. Okay, Tim? Thank you all. I hope there is something that has pointed you in the right direction.